Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, thankfully we have another victory edition to talk about here on 4th and 1. And man, this seems like it was your kind of game. 46 carries, 205 yards. Don't get many of these under Andy Reid. But kind of a patchwork offensive line, but boy, did they take it to Buffalo today.
If that's a patchwork offensive line, then I'd hate to see what a real offensive line looked like.
Well, I mean, when I say that, I mean, you know, they had three new starters from last week. Daniel Kilgore stepped in for Austin Ryder, who supposedly has a bit of a tender knee. You had Mike Rimmers in at left guard for Kelechi Asimile. He ended up moving out to right tackle when Mitchell Schwartz, who showed up on the injury report with a back issue, goes out. But then Nick Allegretti comes in, and boy, we've heard he could be a mauler. This is the first time we really got to see it. What did you think of that offensive line group and the job they did tonight?
I would like to see that every single week, and if they can do that every single week, that would be fantastic. So just keep doing that every single week, and I will be one of the happiest people in the greater Kansas City area, and I will not be frequenting a Wendy's parking lot. That will not be happening if that's the offensive line and the type of performance I get to see on a regular basis. No, I mean, like you said, Allegretti and Kilgore did a phenomenal job at left guard, right guard, left guard center, and that's kind of really what you're really looking for long-term here, is if you can stabilize those spots, keep everybody healthy, and if those two can kind of maul and double team and combo block the way that they did, I'm a huge fan of being able to see that down the road here. And then I'm curious to see what can happen whenever Rankin comes back, if there's a spot for him on the offensive line. And depending what happens with Schwartz, you hope he gets healed up and comes back. But man, I'm telling you what, back problems, once offense or defensive linemen start having those things linger for years, and you hope it's just a minor tweak or something, but it's something to keep an eye on. Because I remember back in 2014 when Don Terry Poe, he started playing differently. He wasn't as dominant as he was, and you started to see kind of some struggles there. But then by 2015, after he had the herniated disc back surgery, I believe, he wasn't the same player after that, and he never really regained the form that he had before, and he still hasn't really – been the Don Terry Poe that he was there for a couple of years.
Yeah. Was there anybody in particular that, because obviously Asimile looks like he's going to be out, long-term there. Who knows? Mitchell Schwartz, like you said, could be a lingering issue, could be back, fairly quickly. It'll be interesting to see how they handle him. Do they shut him down? Did they like what they saw enough this week to shut him down for a couple of weeks? Really try to get that right? Or do they feel like it's something that he's just got to learn to deal with because he's at that stage of his career, and just see what they can get out of him moving forward? But did you see enough from Allegretti to say, hey, he should be the left guard moving forward? Or do you still think Rimmers is the answer there? Because obviously that's who they first turned to. He's clearly been the number six offensive lineman this year. He started when Wiley couldn't go at Baltimore, and he was next man up when Asimile went down there at left guard. And he's obviously the backup tackle we learned tonight too, for sure. So
I think with Schwartz's situation now, and if anything happens to Fisher, hopefully, God forbid it doesn't, knock on wood, I think you want to keep Rimmers as your swing tackle for the most part. And I think if you can get that type of performance on a regular basis out of Allegretti and Kilgore, then I would keep using those two until that starts to decline in some way. Then you can kind of figure it out from there. But I mean, I think my bigger frustration with the whole thing is that it took injuries to start testing some of these guys out. That's kind of where my irritation is overall with the whole thing. It seems like it takes injuries along the offensive line for them to shuffle some chairs and to be able to find out, oh, okay, that guy can do it in a game situation. I mean, like, that's kind of what you're paid for in practice, is to look at that and evaluate that on a regular basis. So, I mean, that's kind of something that kind of irritates me sometimes, is it normally takes specific injuries to be able to see, oh, okay, this guy can perform. Okay, this guy can perform too. Okay, wow, that guy can perform. And instead, it just, I don't know. There's just something that's always kind of bothered me, is that it takes those things to be able to be like, oh, okay, wow, all right.
Yeah, especially when you talk about Daniel Kilgore, because it's not like the interior offensive line have been playing well to begin with. Patrick Mahomes didn't even really trust him. You could see last week against the Raiders when he would bail early, at even the slightest hint of pressure. And then you see the way Daniel Kilgore played today, and you're like, why wasn't this guy in there before? And it's not like he's a young – I mean, with it's Nick Allegretti, it's his second year. Okay, maybe you understand that a little bit. I mean, Kilgore's new to the Chiefs, yes. He signed in August, but this is his 10th year in the league. I mean, he started for San Francisco before. He started for Miami before. I mean, he's a fairly known quantity, I would think, for in terms of NFL coaches. You know, I mean, they know what they're getting in this guy. You know, so, look, it's encouraging. Hopefully at least now – there, some of those solutions we talked about, they needed to find, and they were going to have to come from the roster. Last week we were talking about the issues with the offensive line. It looks like maybe there's some there, and I'm not sure I felt as confident about that coming out of the Oakland game as I do after watching that Buffalo game. Because in the back of my mind, like the fact that Allegretti hadn't ever gotten this an opportunity like this kind of said to me, maybe he's not ready. Maybe, you know, I mean, there's clearly something that's keeping him out of the lineup and they're not giving him a chance. Well, to your point, maybe I was giving the coaching staff too much credit there, and maybe they were being a little too loyal to some of the guys that they had anointed starters, because Allegretti certainly looked like he was a guy who could get the job done in the NFL to me.
He did for this game, definitely. I'm curious to see if he's able to get the opportunity and stack some performances together down the road here along with Kilgore. And if Rimmers can keep doing that at right tackle, if he has to replace in for Schwartz. But, I mean, look, at the end of the day, they proved they can run the ball against the Bills. Then they showed the NFL they can run the ball, so teams need to respect that a little bit. And if the Chiefs can consistently start doing that on a regular basis, NFL teams are really going to have to start respecting it. And they're going to have to make a decision. Do we keep seven back and let them just run all over us? Or do we keep, or do we kind of balance it out and try to figure that out? And then that's going to open some windows for Pat. And the other big thing at the, if you're looking at checkpoints of what they need to work on, they got to work on their run game and the red zone efficiency, continue to work on that, give those opportunities to where they can score any way, shape, or form, to where it's not just them doing the pop pass or doing a reverse or something of that nature that has to involve misdirection or getting somebody at full speed at the start of the snap. They need to be able to figure that part out over the coming weeks. You need to be able to keep this run game going in a certain way. And then you need another receiver to step up to take some pressure off of Tyreek and Kelsey. And I mean, you know, while Sammy Watkins is out, you're going to need all that to happen. And I mean, maybe Le'Veon Bell is the guy who's able to help make that happen. But I mean, it was a promising start. It gives you encouragement that they found, as they've said, they found another way to evolve and win and create in this offense. And I'm telling you, if the Chiefs can run like that on a weekly basis throughout the rest of the season, they're going to be a better offense collectively than what they were last year. I know that sounds weird to say, but they would be a much more balanced offense overall that can score on you at will and adapt in any way to beat you.
And look, and they may not score as many points or have as many yards because obviously you chew up more of the clock and it's more of a, I mean, like they had four scoring drives, at least 10 plays today, several scoring drives over 6 minutes long. You know, not kind of the track meet style of offense we've become used to seeing the last 3 years, especially with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. But I mean, you know, that's got to terrify other teams if they can flex like that. And real quick, how much do you think the Bell signing kind of lit a fire under Clyde Edwards-Helaire today to kind of go out and have a big performance? Or is it as simple as the holes were there this week when they weren't in past weeks? They did a better job getting him into the edge rather than trying to force him between the tackles. And so as a result, better blocking, better play calling, he's in space more, and then you get to see why they drafted him.
I think it's a combination of both. Trust me, that Bell signing didn't hurt Clyde Edwards-Helaire being able to run with a little bit more aggressiveness and a little bit more decisiveness like he did tonight. I'm going to say the holes are much wider. Guys weren't in the backfield as soon as he got the snap. Those were all keys to really let him showcase who he is as a running back and why they took him in the first round. And like you and I had talked about in the previous podcast, I mean, this is now kind of essentially, in some regards, this is essentially week two of the regular season in a normal year, to where you've had the first four preseason games. You had week one last week in some regards, and you had week two this week in terms of what they're used to from a football condition perspective and in terms of reps and snaps. So you're finally starting to see people get comfortable and kind of be able to feel out what they're going to do in this offense. And the Chiefs still don't know what they are as an offense. They know what they like to be, and they know what teams are giving them, but they still don't definitively know their identity yet, and they're still finding that out. And as long as they can figure that out and keep winning games and get to week 16 and 17 and be able to kind of have it locked down by the time they get to the playoffs, that's really what this whole regular season's about. The Chiefs, from winning the Super Bowl, have gone to a whole new level, to where it's not necessarily about, hey, we need to figure out a way to get in. It's more, hey, what do we need to work on? What do we need to evolve? What do we need to do here so we can get back to that mountaintop?
Yeah, and look, they didn't look great last week, but the Chiefs certainly looked like a Super Bowl contender, one of the elite teams in the NFL again this week. 5-1, tied for the second best record in the AFC. Another big win against a team that I think is going to be there competing for those playoff spots toward the end of the year.
Yep, another key tiebreaker for them.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the Bills are going to be the AFC East champions when it's all said and done. So. You know, they took care of business today like they needed to. Look, got a lot more to talk about from this game. The defense with a nice bounce back performance, but also some mistakes along the way that the Chiefs can get better at. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk more about the big win in Buffalo, 26-17 on the other side.
Everywhere you look, you see a push for change.
In Kansas City, comebacks are in the DNA, and together we will make it happen.
You've got a team telling your stories.
First, we listen. It's what you deserve.
With so much changing minute by minute, count on us for the stories that hit home.
We hear you and are becoming a voice for you.
From all of us at NBC Nightly News and 41 Action News, thank you for joining us as we rise to the challenge and rebound together.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined again by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, Patrick Mahomes now 6-2 in his NFL career, coming off a loss. They've never lost more than two straight games with Patrick Mahomes under center. Obviously not going to happen coming off this Raiders game. Don't have to worry about too many losing streaks when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, do you?
You hope not. I mean, look, they've been able to handle that for the past couple of years. You just hope that the trend continues in a positive way. Never know what's going to happen, man. Injuries happen all the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, as long as Pat's healthy, I think they're in pretty good shape, though. When you talk about injuries, though, in the offense, it wasn't just the offensive line. Sammy Watkins is a big piece to the puzzle. And we talked on the preview podcast when it became clear he probably wasn't going to be available for this Bills game about why that is. It seemed like today, though, everybody was looking at Mecole Hardman Jr. as the guy who was going to step up and fill the void with Sammy out. He gets shut out. He's got a goose egg, not a single catch in the game. Is DeMarcus Robinson the answer there?
For the Bills game, he was. I mean, he was able to kind of duplicate some of what they did production-wise with Sammy, and he was able to step up in some spots that they needed him to. Brian Pringle did for a play or two, so – yep. The thing is, like, Mecole Hardman, I mean, he's a speed guy that you can draw up and design some plays for. But, I mean, if you're looking for him to be the consistent producer on that offense right now, that's just not where he's at in his career and his progression. And we'll see where he's at over the rest of the season and potentially next year. But, I mean, you're not – at this point in time, he's not the guy that you can rely on to be able to pick up that production.
Right. And – you know, I mean, this was a game where, because of the way they were playing and because of, you know, some of it has to do with Tre'Davious White, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the game. And if you've got other options to attack, you probably do. But Tyreek Hill was eye candy for most of this game. And so they needed somebody to step up and compliment Travis Kelce. Do you think DeMarcus Robinson's ever – he's been good for one or two of these games a year the last couple of years. Do you ever see him being a consistent threat week after week, though?
Not with the performance that he's given over the past couple of years. I think it's more he'll be able to help you out a little bit here and there. But, I mean, if you're expecting that over a 16-game span – he hasn't been able to prove that yet. That's something he's got to prove in the coming weeks so that he can be that guy. I mean, really, for the most part, what he is he's a really good run blocker on the perimeter. I mean, that dude blocks hard on the perimeter. And Al Saunders would have loved him if he was his receivers coach in terms of how he blocks. So, I mean, that's kind of really where his overall value is. And he does a good job in the scramble drill for the most part with Patrick. He has that communication with him. So, I mean, all those things combined, I mean – you're going to need to see it more. I mean, as it is in the show me state, he's going to have to show you that he can routinely do this before you go putting all your eggs in that basket.
He'll get another chance potentially next week at Denver. Cause you know, obviously the Chiefs have a short week again. They're the first time since like first team since like 1946, I think, to play 3 out of 4 weeks on Monday Night Football here. And of course only one of them was scheduled. You know, but now they got a short week before going to Denver. You know, so we'll see. I mean, it could very well be DeMarcus Robinson needs to play a key role again, because that's a really good secondary they're going against up in Denver. You know, they're missing some pieces, but Vic Fangio is figuring out how to put that defense together. I think they're going to be challenged a little bit more from a defensive perspective by the Broncos than they were by the Bills this week. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, and we'll look at that more in the preview podcast.
Try to take away from the victory, Todd. So, Patrick Mahomes, you know, it's a rainy day. It's a gross day. If you didn't get to watch the game, it rained all day in Buffalo. Both quarterbacks needed a little bit of time to settle in because the ball is slick. Mahomes finishes 21-26 for 225 yards with two touchdowns in the rain. First quarterback in Chiefs history to throw a touchdown 16 straight games. Which the best part about that for me was it erased Elvis Gerbach from one of the records in franchise history. You know, so now we don't have to be reminded of the Elvis Gerbach era quite so much. But the other thing was I got really irritated when I looked at the box score, though, because, you know, ESPN has that fancy QBR stat. And believe it or not, Josh Allen had a higher QBR, 85.8. than Mahomes did for this game, 81.4. So can you explain to me how that happens? Because watching that game, Josh Allen was a dumpster fire, and Patrick Mahomes, I thought, played really well.
I mean, I can't explain the rating for you. So, I mean, it's not my rating, so I'm not even going to try. They don't sign my checks for that stuff. So
but that you agree one will it's be... a, you agree it's a travesty, correct?
I mean, look, the reality is this. Josh Allen turned back into the pumpkin that he is, as we talked about in the podcast last week. I mean, that's who he is. He's an accurate quarterback. He's Jay Cutler and Brock Osweiler's body. That's who that guy is. And he got shown to be the fraud that he is. Again, I mean, people wanted to jump on the Josh Allen hype train and, you know, and choo-choo their way through that. But guess what? The Chiefs defense took him to church. That's what happened. And the thing is, the Bills were literally calling plays based purely on running the ball and keeping the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And if it wasn't for the officiating crew throwing a flag every single time the Chiefs' defensive backfield got physical and stopped them from running at will through the secondary like they wanted to, then Josh Allen would have been off the field a lot more, would have had a lot more, a lot less passes to attempt. I mean, Josh Allen is who he is. I mean, there's a reason that they had to come up with all those little gimmicky things in the playoffs against the Texans with him. And then there's a reason that the Titans smacked him around last week, and then the Chiefs did it again this week. Josh Allen is who he is. As Denny Green would say, you know, I had to do it more as a singular person versus an entire team. Josh Allen is who he is. And, you know,
he is who we thought he is.
People can do what?
He is who we thought he is.
Yes, I mean, yes, you're much more of a wordsmith than I am with that, so I trust your words on that and editing that into the podcast correctly.
None of this is getting edited.
Okay. Anyways, but I mean, look, as you know, I have a little hot button with Josh Allen sometimes whenever people want to talking about how great he is and how he's just like Patrick Mahomes and he's just like this and that. And I'm like, no. Yeah, he can throw it far, but it's going to be 20 rows in the stands. Congrats.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is you wish that the Chiefs had drafted Josh Allen.
I mean, if that's what you took away from it, then that's what you took away from it.
Yeah,
I'll take the L in life sometimes, Tom.
That's what I got. On that note, let's take a quick break and let that thought linger with our audience and then come back to the C-Block here on 14.
Best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts. Every Sunday night after the news and football.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And thankfully, look, Nick, I started off talking offensive line because I really thought that was the button to push for you to get animated, Nick, today. I guess I forgot about, your affinity for Josh Allen. But I'm glad I finally found the right button to push there at the end of the last segment.
I'm sorry. I just got tired of hearing about it every week. They're like, oh, he's an improved guy. He's an improved guy. It's like, the guy's wide open, and they're not even pressuring him. Of course he's going to look different. But anyways, that's done. Defense did a good job. They rattled him early. They got him nervous and got him antsy. And then I knew it was over when they started running quarterback sweeps with their starting quarterback. I knew it was over at that point. Like, man, if they're running quarterback sweeps to calm him down and to get him back in rhythm, this ball game's over with in terms of trusting that guy to be the one that you can win you the game.
Well, and surely he knows that too, right? Like,
I would hope so.
When that call comes in, he's got the headset on, and they're like, they don't think I can win this football game.
Oh, the QB sweep again? Oh, am I playing that bad already?
Yeah, it's like,
only
the
second or third series.
Oh no, it's they're it's like the
the only thing they could have done that would have been worse is if they had run that stupid jet sweep that they ran last year in the playoff game to do a quarterback toss back to him. That happened in that playoff game where they did a throwback to the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it almost worked for the Patriots against the Broncos this week where they just let Julian Edelman take over at quarterback for Cam on the final drive. So, hey, I do want to mention, though, like, let's not let the Chiefs off the hook completely here, okay? Because – at what point do you get concerned about the cornerbacks? Last week it's Bashaud Breeland's first game back. So you give him a bit of a pass there, right? But a couple penalties today. And then you on the other side, this was a second straight pretty poor game. And not just poor game, but at times poor effort from Charvarius Ward. At what point do you begin to get concerned about the starting cornerbacks for the Chiefs?
I'm going to give Breeland probably 3 or 4 more games before I start to get a little nervous or antsy about where he's at. I mean, he's still, like you said, he's still working his way back. It's only his second week. So, I mean, 3 more games, I think we'll know where he's at overall. He's still a physical corner, and he plays this style of game, and I'm fine with that. And I like what he does in run support.
I was going to say, it's also worth pointing out that we've seen other teams get away with mugging Tyreek Hill more than some of the flags that were thrown on Hill. And even one of the tugs that Ward had, in the game. So I'm not saying that it was necessarily a well-officiated game, but this is a couple weeks where the corners have been problematic.
Well, to get back to the point, though, with Ward, I wouldn't be surprised if his hand's not irritating him a little bit, because if you've ever had surgery after breaking a bone or breaking something, it's not a good feeling for the most part there for a while. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's just battling through some pain with that right now. And sometimes when you have pain that could be that intense, there's some hesitation you have sometimes with doing stuff the normal way that you would on a press or a jam or how you tackle. So, I mean, none of that would surprise me if that's kind of what he's experiencing and going through personally right now.
Yeah, Chiefs also had, they're only 3-5 in the red zone. Harrison Butker, thankfully he's making his field goals, but – can't seem to make every extra point in a game. As much as the Chiefs started out the game getting good pressure on Josh Allen, they didn't have any sacks in this one. And then, you know, Travis Kelce had the fumble at the end of the first half where the Chiefs looked like they were setting up to at least get a field goal out of it. Probably should have given up a field goal the other way. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, boy, I don't know about you, but my stomach, there was a lump in my throat when Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled that ball as I waited for the replay to see if his knee was down or if that ball was out. Because, you know, I mean, the Chiefs, for as well as they'd played, if Edwards-Helaire fumbles there, the defense is up against it in that situation, and Buffalo could have stolen that one.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely had some of those bad thoughts running through your head at that point, but luckily his knee was down and he was able to work out. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens here in the coming weeks.
I guess if I had, the Chiefs talked about getting real with themselves and the mistakes they made in the loss to the Raiders. I think for the most part they did. So I guess if there's a positive to take from it, there's more stuff on this game tape for those guys to get real about this week as they head into the Denver game.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, there's stuff every week the Chiefs can work on. It's just a matter of, are they willing to, at times, the Raiders game guaranteed they were going to have to humble themselves to a certain level and kind of have a little bit different focus than, or different approach than what they had the previous week in some regards. So it looked like they took that to heart and they made it a mission of theirs to be able to set a tempo and set authority on both sides of the football early. And they were able to establish the type of game they wanted to play against the Bills. And they were able to take it to them. I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, the Bills are a playoff contender and they're going to be in good position to win the AFC East. And have the Patriots not be the champion of the AFC East for the first time in a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how that race shapes up and where it ends up going. But, I mean, overall, it's just right now, I mean, the Chiefs have played – I mean, they played the playoff team in the Ravens. They played the Texans, you know, obviously, who were AFC South champions last year. And you've taken every single team's best shot and – they've been able to adapt and evolve through it and be able to take everybody's best shot and be competitive in every game. And, you know, minus a few mistakes against the Raiders, they can still be undefeated right now. So, I mean, they got to continue to remind themselves what it's going to take to take it to the new level. And as Eric Bieniemy says to the guys, add 1% to it, get 1% better each day. They're going to have to continue to figure that out if they want to be able, if they really, truly want to run it back and be the Super Bowl champion again. Then they're going to have to continue to understand all these things that need to be fixed and how they need to get to as close as perfection as they can if they want to get back to that mountaintop.
Well, for this week, the run it back tour ran right over the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs improved to 5-1, back to division play and a chance to get some more separation in the division next week. So, Nick, you feel like doing this again toward the end of the week, talking about that matchup with the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it works out. We'll see where life takes us.
All right. Well, hopefully it takes us back to another 4th-and-1. And in the meantime, take care, kids.
All right. Time's up.